one of the major tools I give is journaling, because journaling gives you a really safe place to speak your truth and to not feel that there's a judgment or a condemnation coming along. And then I give them different journaling exercises and breathing exercises, and just knowing that they're in an environment with me. You know, I'm not there to judge them. I'm there to let them know that someone cares and someone hears their truth.
There is a depth and a breadth to our lives that largely goes unexplored. As an equestrian life mindset coach and host of this podcast, I am here to lead you on that exploration. Deep conversations covering topics in and out of the show ring with industry leaders and unsung heroes alike, sharing their stories and what makes their journey unique, but relatable at the same time. We all have stories to share and lessons to trade, something we've learned from a horse or from each other. So relax and be ready to listen with more than just your ears. I'm Tracy Mitchell. Welcome to Hitting Your Stride. Hello there, everyone, and welcome back. Today's episode is a bit different, and yet one that I know will speak to the heart of every single listener. When I shared with all of you what my why is for this podcast way back in episode 3, I touched on the fact that I wanted to open up conversation in the podcast to include all areas of the equestrian world and all aspects that that can include. I have focused on the exciting and inspiring elements of the industry, all the while delving a bit deeper with each guest, getting to know them and joining together the horses, the people who love them, and their path of personal development. As horse lovers, and quite honestly, as animal lovers, one of the hardest things we ever have to do is say goodbye to a furry loved one, no matter what their size. This unavoidable event is something that we all know we will have to face the moment we invite another four-legged soul into our lives. And yet the calling for that relationship and connection is too deep to ignore. I have with me today Helen Goldberg, who is a pet loss grief recovery specialist and counselor. Helen is a graduate of the Blackford Center Pet Bereavement Program, as well as the American Academy of Grief Counseling. With her passion for animals and her empathy for people, Helen had the desire and motivation to move forward into this very new yet needed profession. Helen has been in practice since 2018 and says her focus and goals are to assist pet parents with the healing of their loss and provide the tools for them to move forward. She values developing a relationship of trust with all of her clients, and when asked, "Why do you do what you do?" Helen says the answer is simple. It's because she truly cares. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you, Tracy. It's great to be here, and I'm excited to speak about this.
Yeah, I think this is a unique topic, I think, even though everybody experiences it. You know, animals, loving animals comes with so many highs and then the lows on the other end. So I think it's fascinating that I've met someone that specializes in this, the pet grief. It's much needed.
Yes, sadly, but yes, it is. A lot of people, you know, go through it all by themselves, and that's a really difficult journey.
So yeah,
my hope is that I'm able to give them a safe, you know, non-judgmental environment to be able to speak
and heal.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so to get started, getting to know you and reading about you and stuff, I've found it fascinating, different aspects of your story and how it came about. And in the material that I read about your approach, you say that there's no right or wrong way to grieve, and that our journey through grief is as individual as our DNA. How do you show people that and help them to understand this process?
Okay, as individual as our bond and our relationship with each pet that we have gives us the foundation for what the grief journey would be like. You can have, you know, several pets at the home at one time, or you can have them over a series of years. But with each pet, because of how the relationship is, you know, the bond, sorry, that's my dog. Talking about pets.
Yes, there you go.
It gives us each time the relationship different. It's like when I had two dogs at the same time, loved them both very much. They were very different in character. And one was, unfortunately, through most of her 12 years, was not a very healthy dog. And the other one, for her 16 years, was always one of these dogs that got into trouble and was always full of being a rascal. But my bond and my grief journey with each of them was so different, because one was more needy, and so it developed into a much deeper relationship, and therefore the struggle of losing her was that much more difficult, opposed to the other one. She wasn't as needy, and she always seemed to know when her sister was not well and would step aside, right? But in this process, it doesn't mean that I love or that we love one more than the other. You know, we miss them both the same, and we love them while they were around as deeply. And it's the same thing. You can have several people in a household, and each of them, their grief journeys are very different, you know, because an animal tends to bond more with one person. So if that bond is deeper, you know, they tend to bond there. So the loss would be deeper for that person. I think it's important. What I do is I give them permission to grieve. I think that's really important. I don't think we or society gives us enough permission to grieve. Let's get over it. Get on with life, everybody. And especially, very often, especially when it's with an animal, you know, you can always get another one, kind of thing. And then I give them tools. One of the major tools I give is journaling, because journaling gives you a really safe place to speak your truth and to not feel that there's a judgment or a condemnation coming along. And then I give them different journaling exercises and breathing exercises, and just knowing that they're in an environment with me. You know, I'm not there to judge them. I'm there to let them know that someone cares and someone hears their truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as you were describing your two dogs, I mean, any of the listeners that, you know, has more than one horse, or, you know, and like I said, you know, this is an equestrian podcast. This is for horse people, but we all know that where there's a horse, there are dogs and there are cats. And as animal lovers, we can't just, you know, feel that special kind of relationship with just one of the species. So, you know, I'm talking like the gamut here. Of course, I have questions for you specifically about horses and their connections with riders. But yeah, when you're talking about how many animals we might have had in our lives, like I'm a huge cat lover. So, you know, I've had many cats in my life, but there was one in particular that I just lost a year ago this past January. And my grieving for her was unbelievable. It still shocks me, which I know that I shouldn't feel, but I'm just like, wow, like, yeah, she was such a part of my life. And she was definitely a mama's girl, but she looked after me. Yeah. So it's very different. And I like the fact that, you know, people are when you stress the fact that people aren't judged when they come to you, because the whole talk therapy or the whole counseling aspect, you know, generally, you know, with mental health and stuff, it is getting better, But you're right. There's something about an animal that's like, oh, not that we feel that way, but the topic, maybe people that don't understand, oh yeah, like you can just get another one, you know, in a couple of weeks, you'll find someone new and they'll take the place. And it's like, no, everyone is so different.
Yeah. When you know what I say to people, though, when other people say that to you, to basically say, well, you know, when your mother dies, you're going to get another mother.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You
know, and I mean, a lot of people say these things and they mean well. Most people say it from a place of hurt, but I believe that less is more sometimes, and it isn't always necessary to say anything. And so because they're so uncomfortable with the situation, they come out with the, oh, you can get another one, or they're in a better place, and you're thinking, no, the only better place would be on my lap or in my stable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But people mean well, but that's just how society reacts, you know, when especially those who don't know animals and don't have the heart for animals, it's totally foreign to them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So horses and riders form a very bonded relationship. There is an element of trust that goes beyond your average pet. How do you approach that kind of situation when you're talking about someone losing an animal, but also someone that has lost perhaps their most important teammate or their partner? Because that element of trust, not everybody decides that they'll throw their leg over a 1,200-pound animal that has a mind of their own, right? So it is a very deep trust. How do you help someone through that?
It's very easy to go down a really dark rabbit hole. So you have to be really careful to steer them away from that. I guess it's just the encouragement of letting them know they've gotten through day one and they're going to get through day two and day three and day 10. And it's called a grief journey for a reason, because it is a grief journey. You know, unfortunately, there's no magic wand. I wish there was sometimes, because I do see the heartbreak, but it's just baby steps. And I guess they're going to fall, no different than a baby who is learning to walk. They're going to fall. There's going to be someone there to pick them up and to encourage them and to help them take a few more steps. And every time this person falls, I'm there to pick them up and to keep on encouraging them. But the biggest thing that I constantly repeat all the time is give yourself permission to grieve.
Okay.
Because people don't. And it's so easy to beat ourselves up. You know, how many times if it was a friend and you'd be there and you'd be cuddling them, encouraging them, but yet you won't give yourself that same regard.
Right.
Right. So that's what I'm there for, to let them know it's okay to grieve and don't beat yourself up and you feel lousy because you lost someone that is so precious to your life, and you're left with this hole and wondering which way is up.
And I think the relationship between horse and rider is so different, because you know, the horse isn't with them 24/7, right? They're not curled up on their couch, they're that kind of thing. So there's a distance. You know, riders got to go to the barn, et cetera, et cetera. But like I said, there's something about, I mean, look how often horses for therapy, you know, how often they're used. There's something so magnetic about them. And oftentimes, like in my world of being a registered equine massage therapist, so many of these horses' purpose is of sport. But in order to be, you know, sports like successful, there's that bond between horse and rider. And, you know, talk about a sense of trust and having faith, whether they're, you know, doing a Grand Prix jumper course or a dressage course or, you know, anything for that matter, reining, anything, there's like this teammate that you have, and all of a sudden your partner is gone. It throws you for a loop because you're like, oh, right, where's my other half? And yes, it, absolutely. Yeah.
I guess also people who use therapy dogs would also, that because that also was, you know, their bond to not having a seizure, or, you know, if the person's visually impaired, or if the person's handicapped, you know, they rely upon this animal to do these things. So that bond also is very key. And then you do get people who are, I mean, so many people, and I'm sure, as you know, you had said with your cat, the loss was so great. For many people, it's their children. Right or wrong, it's their child, right? So many people don't have children, can't have children, are single, decide not to. And then you get people who are senior and don't go out, and who are at home and lonely, and this was their real company, right? You know, so our animals play such an incredible role in our lives. They leave a massive hole, and it's knowing that you can continue, that there is a light. And often I say that to people, and I know they probably think, what is she talking about? Well, she doesn't know what she's talking about. But I've been there. And when I finally see them at the end, and they'll say to me, you're right, there is a light.
Okay. Yeah. I remember being there. And I know in episode one of this podcast, I shared the loss of my horse, Leuven. Yeah, that was a dark, there was just this sudden, this void. And
so again, it's going back to that big hole, and again, giving yourself permission to allow yourself to grieve, to allow yourself to laugh, to allow yourself to live your life, to allow yourself to watch a mindless movie, allow yourself to do everything. Because what happens is a lot of times when people go into this deep grief, they go through this thing of, well, I'm not allowed to, or give themselves permission to live their life, because then they think they're not grieving anymore. Or what will people think of me? If, you know, how many of them will say, I'm watching TV, and then there's something funny or somebody makes a joke and I laugh, and then I suddenly stop, right?
Yes, I remember doing that. It's all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, I just laughed. Like, it felt weird. It felt like this was, like you said, it felt too soon.
Yes, and it's sort of like, then am I dishonoring the animal? Which there is, of course, no truth to that, right? Mm-hmm. But that's how the mind is working, right? That's where the darkness is, where you're supposed to sit in that grief. And a lot of people, they feel that if they hold on to the grief and hold on to this, then it means, because they're so afraid of losing the memories. And by holding on to the grief, they think, well, then I won't forget. And I'm afraid I'm going to forget. And I'm going to afraid what he or she looks like. Or I'm afraid what it was like when my horse nestled into me or looked in my eyes, you know. But you know that you don't forget, because those belong to you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my dog, I mean, she's gone, my first one, 13 years, and I can still close my eyes and see her. She loved to lie down and drink water, like, you know, when they do the froggy thing, because she was just plain lazy and thought she was royal blood. And I can still picture it, right? Because it was something that was so endearing and precious. So it's allowing yourself to live, right? To go on and to laugh, but also giving yourself permission that when you are feeling really lousy, but that's okay. You don't have to be around people and be happy-go-lucky. And if they don't like it, then that's their issue, not yours.
Yeah. So during this process of, you know, what comes next is this journey and grief, like when you're counseling people, how do you help them figure out when it's okay or when they can tell them it's okay to find their next partner? You know, some people that might be holding on to the grief, do you find that they hold on to the grief for so long because putting themselves back out there to reconnect with another animal they're afraid of because it's so painful of everything that they just lost, and they feel like the longer they grieve equals how much they love their animal? Or, you know, and but what do you say to the person that's, you know, 2 days later or a week later has a new partner? I don't think people can find horses that quickly, but, you know, as far as your dog or your cat, and in some cases, someone might just hunt down horses as fast as they can because they just need to look after that. How do you decipher the difference, or is there?
I think everyone's different. Okay. And I tell people to be really careful about that, because are you getting it because you want to give another animal a loving, secure, wonderful home? Or are you doing it because you're trying to fill your hole? And you'll be very disappointed because you won't fill that hole. And as you know, horse is different, and every dog is different, and every cat is different. You know, and then what happens is you're really not ready, and you're just doing it to fill that hole and you think you are ready. It's sort of like, yeah, but, you know, Fido 1 did it this way. Why isn't Fido 2 doing it that way? And then there becomes resentment to Fido 2. And that isn't fair to that animal, right? So you have to know yourself. When I lost my two eventually, I did do it very quickly. Mm-hmm. Within a few weeks, I got myself a little rescue.
Yeah.
But I knew what I was doing, right?
Yeah.
But everyone, and I've seen where you had families, and one is ready and one isn't, and that also could be a danger, right? Okay. That, and it has to be respected, especially for the one who isn't ready. You have to give them the time to get through their healing process in order to be able to welcome that other animal with their full heart into the family.
I remember years ago when I lost an animal, it was another cat. Sweet and silly as she was awesome. And I had many years of laughter with her. And after I lost her, my instinct was, all right, I'm going to take some time, whatever. And then I felt, okay, I'd like another cat. And I've got the intention, and I'm like, oh, I could go to this barn or I could go to that barn. And then it's kind of hit me. I'm like, why put pressure on myself to try to find my next pet? And I'm like, all right, who's ever meant to be with me can find me. And I just kind of took a step back. And I know I have some massage clients and some coaching clients that I work with that have lost a horse, and they just put so much energy into finding the next one. And like 53 horses later, trying to find one that fit, that was a good mix. And she's just like, all right, that's it. I'm tired. I can't push this anymore. And like 2 months later, her perfect partner showed up. And for me, with this loss of my husband and I, we lost my cat a year ago, this past January, we were like, all right, it's the middle of winter. We know there are no kittens around. So Tracy, just take a breath. And it was really challenging because, you know, there's all sorts of opportunities, but they never panned out until 5 months later. We had two crazy little farts running around our place and they're just incredible. And I felt like they were meant to be. So I guess there's a lot of just acceptance that as much as you're hurting, you really can't push it, can you?
No. And it's knowing again that you're doing it for the right reasons, you know, that you're not doing it Because a lot of people do it to fill the hole, and you're going to be very disappointed. And then again, like you said, you put pressure on, and then you think this is the right cat or the right dog, and it may very well not be, but you're not thinking really with the logic, you know, or the common sense. You're thinking with a broken heart.
Yeah.
And that never works out good.
Yeah. Yes. And we all know horses have so much personality. And I was just talking to someone about this today that, you know, just because we choose them doesn't necessarily mean that they would choose us if they had the choice, which is really hard to accept when you're the person, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes here, people, in charge of finding a partnership. Personalities are so different.
Yeah.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. All right. So can you share some of the signs of grieving? I know that might sound like a silly question to some people, but other than the obvious, but is it possible to be grieving and not even realize it?
Okay. Well, firstly, there's 5 stages of grief.
Okay.
There's the denial, the bargaining, should have, could have, would have, along with that on the shirt tails of that is always 99.9% is guilt. Guilt is a killer in the grief process. And that's where a lot of people get stuck, you know, and can't move on. They get stuck in that guilt. And then there's anger, and then there's depression, and then there is finally the acceptance. Not everybody goes through all those 5 stages. There's really no order. Very often it's a roller coaster. You may think, oh, you went through bargaining, now it's gone, and then you're into depression, and then suddenly 3 days later you're into the bargaining again. So it's sort of like this up and down until one of them sort of begins to fade away. You know, you start to not feel the could have, would have, should have, and realize that you did do all that you could, and that you did love them 110%. With respect, can you be grieving and not know? I would say it's more of pushing it down.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So it's sort of like there's avoidance. It's, you know, well, I'll just get on with my life. You know, I cried 4 tears. That's enough, you know, or the shame in public that goes with that. Especially if you're in an environment and your circle are people who aren't animal people. Though I find mostly when you're an animal person, you tend to circle yourself with animal people.
Yes, because they're good people. Hand. Yes.
Yes. But I think it's more, I think when you're in grief, real grief, and you haven't sort of pushed it away, and you're facing that reality that you lost your best friend, you're very aware of it. I think it's really hard not to see that and to feel that pain of that grief.
Not to ask a question that seems really dark, because on average, I'm a very positive person, but have you ever found anyone that gets so stuck in the anger or the depressed that they never venture out and open their heart to another partner, animal, companion?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Which is very sad, you know, I mean, because when you think of as difficult as it is, I mean, when we go and get our a pet, no matter whether it's a horse or a dog or a cat, I've had people with potbelly pigs, I've had cockatoos, whatever it is, when we get them, they're young, they're healthy, you're not in the back of your mind thinking, oh, in about 20 years or 15 years or 12 years, you know, this animal's going to die. You don't walk into buying an animal or adopting or going to a breeder and becoming a pet parent. But sometimes you just have people who just they just can't get past it. And they said, that's it. I'm never going to get another animal again because I don't think I can take the broken heart. And yet if you think of all the years that they gave you, you know, and what the love and the companionship, you know, as much as I care about people, animals do give us something that people can't. And that's why they use animals as therapists, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all the time, as you said, horses, and they use dogs, many dogs. And I know several people who have, you know, dogs as their therapy dogs. And they bring something to us. And like you said, there is many times when we need to go speak to someone, but it's that animal we choose to go, because their love, as glib as it sounds, is that unconditional.
Yeah. The first morning that my cat Lucy and I woke up together, when she was just a wee small thing, she was up on my pillow, and I woke up and I'm like, whoa. And I look at this little face. She just cracked me up. And the first thing that came out of my mouth without even thinking was, you're going to break my heart one day too, aren't you, you little shit? Sorry, yeah. Listeners, but that's exactly what I said. And there was this acceptance, like, I just know you are going to take my heart, and this is going to be a ride that we're going to be on. And she was so incredible, to the point where, Helen, I really did wonder, after I lost her, the pain was just so incredible. I did not know. And I'm a pretty open-hearted, heart on my sleeve, love things kind of person. And I really didn't know if I could go through that again.
Yeah.
So I think I just took the time necessary, and with the help of my husband, and we realized, yep, we're going to do this. And I, like, that's why I know, I don't know of any horse person that has lost their horse and not eventually slid into another relationship. So maybe not gone out and purchased their next partner. So, you know, found that, but maybe they decide to lease, or maybe they go back to taking lessons slowly. Right. And just kind of wading back into the pool. Cause yeah, the thought of it is just, it's so hard. What do you think it is? Because all animal lovers, like I said in the intro, we know we're going to go through this loss and this pain, but there's something about them that are so meaningful to us.
Yeah, I think it's just what they can give us. That, as I said, as much as we surround ourselves with people that we care about and that love us, and we love them back, there's something about an animal. They just, and I guess it's just the purity of who they are, you know, and we don't, they don't look at things the way we do. I mean, you think of the animals of who are out there, and you hear the stories of how they're abused or neglected or abandoned on the street, and then they are taken into a shelter, and in time they go to a foster. And you watch them slowly, you know, the trust that they have. I mean, my little guy was on the streets of Kentucky. By the time I got him, he was maybe a year and a half, two. Mm. You can tell by the teeth. And he was skin and bones. He was afraid of everyone and everything. He was quite wild because he had never really had any training. But it took time and trust and just letting him know that life's going to be okay, you know. And he's just the happiest little dog I've ever owned, right?
Aww.
But that's what they are to us, right? They, animals are able to give us something that is so, I think, so pure that unfortunately people can't, because we get into all of that and animals don't,
nope.
Right? They think of the moment, and I'm being loved. oh, and it's treat time, I hear the bag rolling, you know, or let me cuddle and take the whole bed, the heck with you, or the cats, right? You know, it's amazing how such small animals can take a whole bed, right? I think it's just the purity of them, you know, that we as people unfortunately have lost.
Yeah. Well, I know, and I shared that in my podcast about my horse, Leuven. I could look back at our relationship. The year span was very long, but the 10 years that we were together, I knew that she was there as my guardian, like my guardian angel. She's the one that kept me sane. She was the one that gave me an outlet. She was the one that loved me unconditionally. She read my moods. It was unbelievable. She was my biggest supporter. And I feel like that's what a lot of horse people, how they look at their partners. I know, like I said, I know so many horse people that have dogs and cats, et cetera. There's something different that they get from that horse. And it's so powerful. In fact, I massaged a horse today where the owner, she was so cute. She's like, yeah, I tell people that my 1100 pound pet gets monthly massages. Yeah, they're so special. How do you help people explain their grief to others who might not understand it?
That's really hard for them to do, you know, especially if they're not animal people. You know, it's like, I guess, you know, I remember there was one time this young lady who decided she wanted to be in social work and work with women who were in poverty, and God bless her for that. But she had a really hard time relating because she was from a very wealthy family, right? So it's really hard to really be able to relate to someone when you have not walked that walk, you know? So it's really hard if you have someone who is not an animal person, or if you, on the other hand, if you do have an animal person, but they've never yet gone through that loss, they may hear you and be able to relate more, but you can't, I don't think you can really get it until you're there. Yeah. It's just one of those things. And I tell people to be really careful who they do surround themselves with when they're going through this really deep grief. As I said, people mean well, but people say things that, you know, I can't tell how many times people say, I want to just punch them when they said, like, oh, they're in a better place. Oh, tomorrow you can get another one. I mean, I remember when I lost my first one, I had someone say that to me after 2 weeks. Wow. It was just a dog, you can get another one. I remember looking at her and thinking, okay, walked away, right?
Yeah.
And I tell my clients, it's okay that if you're uncomfortable and feeling unsafe, to very politely say, you know what? I don't want to speak about Fido, but thank you for asking, and shut down the conversation.
Right. Right?
And that's when you, if you need to talk, you go to your journal, right? Yeah. Or you contact someone who deals with pet loss.
Yeah. I mean, I guess one of the things back when you said, you know, people need to recognize that when they're in this low, heavy place, to be kind to themselves and to allow themselves. So I guess ultimately we don't need to explain anything to anybody. We don't need to seek for validation or acceptance of what we go through, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if someone, you know, if you're at a gathering and you're feeling really blue and people are feeling uncomfortable, of course we don't want to put a downer on the room. But the reality is you still don't really, you know, oh, if someone's having a problem, then whose problem is that, really?
Right.
I mean, if they can't have the kindness and the compassion to understand that you've lost someone very dear to your heart, whether it's a pet or whether it's another human being, then perhaps they should go find another place to be and look within themselves, right?
Yep, absolutely. So being compassionate and empathetic is wonderful for your clients, like you being compassionate and empathetic, but it must take a toll on you. Like, how do you manage your own self-care to make sure that you're looked after and able to give people the best version of yourself?
First and foremost is through my relationship with God.
Okay.
And through prayer. And knowing that this is my divine purpose. I have no question about it, that this is what I'm supposed to do. And this is the passion and the gift that he gave me, right? And then I just take care of myself physically. I eat well. I try to stay positive. And I give myself time out. Whenever I have appointments, I always give myself an hour between each, right? So I'm able to sort of refocus and do what I have to do to get myself. But I think it's also the fact that it is such a love and such a passion for me that it makes it easier. We all know that if we go to a job that we dread, and I did that for many, many years, you'd wake up in the morning and you're already exhausted thinking about, right? And by the end of the day, you're wondering why the heck you're doing this anymore, right?
Yeah.
So I think the fact that it's my passion, it makes it that much easier for me to take care of myself.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, I find like when I'm coaching people, yes, I mean, my energy, it's just, you know, you just love to help and see them grow and evolve through these things. And when I'm massaging horses, you know, I love the connections I have with all my clients and the horses, like the clients, I mean, the people, but the horses, there's this energy exchange. And there are times where I'm like, I'm exhausted, but totally invigorated at the same time. So my self-care on both aspects. I totally agree. There is a spiritual way that I look after myself, a mental, emotional, and absolutely physically, you know, getting out and moving, getting my energy moving really helps. So it's when you're working with emotions and dealing with people and dealing with theirs. Yeah. There's, do you find that you have to protect yourself just a little bit to not absorb everything they're putting at you?
At times, I mean, some of the stories are so heart-wrenching, right? And as I mentioned earlier before we started to do this, there are times I'm finding I have to really blink hard so the tears don't roll down.
Okay? Yeah.
Right. Because I really do empathize and I really do feel their pain. But I also know I have to sort of guard myself from that. I mean, as a whole, I'm able. There have been a few stories that have been really tragic. And I have to, before seeing them, I have to sort of prepare myself to be able to deal with that. So I can be my best for them, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, anticipation of having this conversation with you, I show you, I had a little Kleenex ready. I didn't know what kind of emotion I might feel. And I thought of having like maybe a little trigger warning, you know, ahead of, you know, for people. This isn't the typical conversation I've had before, but it's an important one. And I've just loved having you here. So to end this lovely conversation I'm enjoying with you, what does the other side of grief look like?
Well, there's that acceptance. It's walking through that dark tunnel, and there is the light and seeing that light, understanding the knowledge, acknowledging that life does go on, but to also know that it doesn't mean that you will stop missing them or loving them. You always will, and that's okay. To know that deep-rooted grief sort of eventually sort of subsides and you start walking in with more of an honoring of your grief journey, an honoring of missing your pet, an honoring of the bond and the relationship that you shared, the memories, and no one can ever take that away from you. That's what you have been gifted with from that particular animal. And knowing that the time you had, even though much too short, because as far as we're concerned, if they lived as long as we did, that's the way we would want it. But you really have been given a gift, and you really have been blessed.
Well, you touched on something there that I firmly believe that, you know, like I said, even though we quote unquote choose them, if we let them pick us, I truly believe that each of them, whether it be a horse or, you know, your cockatoo or whatever animal, that they choose us for a certain time in our life.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. They're there to guide us. And here we are thinking we are the supreme being of the relationship, but they know far more than we will ever.
Yes, absolutely. It's like I have on my website, one of the quotes there are basically, and no, I didn't really save them, but they saved me.
Yeah. Whew. Well, Helen, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I hope everybody gets a lot out of this. Where can people reach out to you if they feel they might need your services?
I am on Facebook, under Pet Loss Counseling, under Helen Goldberg, and I have a website, which is petlosscounseling.
Okay. Awesome.
You just Google also pet loss counseling, often my name will come up.
And Helen Goldberg. All right. Well, we'll put your contact information in the show notes so people can reach out to you. And Helen, thank you so much for this.
Well, thank you.
So there you have it. I have some great interviews lined up for future episodes, and we'll be covering some pretty interesting topics, as always, with the intent to open and engage the horse world on a wide variety of issues. So until next time, keep your eyes forward and continue to hit your stride. To stay current with Hitting Your Stride, subscribe on my website or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. If you like what you've heard here today, make sure you share and leave a comment to help guide future episodes and widen the audience. And be sure to check out social media to keep up to date with Equestrian Elements Life Coaching.